I've been away. Haven't changed, had much to say. But man, I still think them cats are crazy. They were asking if you were around, how you was, where you could be found. I told them you were living downtown, driving all the old men crazy.
Yeah, welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show, the champions, the local comic book shop. We are broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio, podcasting comicbookdaily.com, getthepointradio.com, and a whole bunch of other guys that are pirating us for sure. I am Walter Duralia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor of Comic Book History at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And we are your boys.
Who are back in town.
Back in town, indeed.
Yes. Right. And always to my left, I have young Shecky Feldstein here, producer extraordinaire and picker of really awesome music.
Huh? You know what? That might have been your best pick so far.
Yeah, must be. You think so?
That might have been the best thing you've ever done on this show.
Yes. I've done something wrong if I've done something you like.
No.
Finally, you've done something. Yeah, it's awesome.
It's a bad omen.
Hey, Shecky, if that's wrong, I don't want to be right.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. All right. Listen, Chris, I always need help at this part of the show.
we are here to talk about new this week. We are here to talk about
right.
comics.
See?
We are here to champion the local comic book community and shops.
The community.
Community. And you know what? We're going to jump right in. I got a bevy of comic books here.
You got more than you normally got.
I know. I got a lot today.
So ambitious.
Listen, I'm going to start with Black Widow. Black Widow number 7.
Black Widow.
And this is, pardon me, sorry. This is a really, really good looking book by Nathan Edmondson, who's the writer. And
Edmondson.
Is
he from Edmonton?
I don't think so. Although he might be. You never know. There's always a possibility.
Maybe we can check that out.
Get right on that.
All right.
And Phil Noto is the artist. Now, I've always loved Phil Noto.
No. Nobody draws a comic
like I do.
Sorry. Sorry. Keep going. You're doing.
I like that.
You're doing well.
Listen, this is it's a Black Widow tale, and I really like it a lot. I think they've really keyed in on what the Black Widow is all about. This is meant to be a story about what she does when she's not being an Avenger, and this kind of harkens back to what remember there was the other Hawkeye series.
I do,
and it was kind of like what Hawkeye does when he's not an Avenger. He's still
just hanging out.
Well, he's still helping people.
Yeah.
And all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Good Samaritan.
So this is her story of what she does to try to atone for her past. Now, if you guys watch the Avengers movies,
sure.
There was a little clues about how, you know what, she did a lot of bad stuff in her past.
Yes.
And so this book kind of helps tie that kind of in, saying that, hey, these are the kind of things that she tried to fix when she was, to help fix what she did before when she was really a bad person.
Skeletons in her closet.
Exactly, exactly. Right. Yeah.
Hey, that's Black Widow number 7. Available at your local comic book shop today.
Right. Now, next up, this is great. You know, this harkens back to my childhood. Batman 66, so the Adam West Batman TV series that came out, you know.
Yeah.
They've done a comic book based on the Adam West likenesses and based on the campiness of that show. Well, this is Batman 66 meets the Green Hornet. Now,
right.
Of course, they met in the actual show.
Yes.
And now they are meeting in comic book form again. Kevin Smith, who I'm actually not a big fan of, did the writing, along with Ralph Garman. And you know, I got to say, I like it a lot. I think it's great. Ty Templeton did the art, who is a good local Canadian boy there.
I love Ty.
And you know what? I love everything about this book. I love the art in it. I love the storyline. They've got a great villain, which I've never seen before. They call him Colonel Gum. And
Colonel Gump.
Of course, he's one of these characters, you know, he was messing around with some sort of experiment these days, and he ends up being encapsulated in glue, you know, so, and that's his thing. He, you know, tries to glue and stick things together.
Yeah,
and,
like
you know, it's campy, it's fun, you know, it's.
Hubba Bubba.
You know what's funny? Even his costume is that pink Hubba Bubba kind of like color, right?
So,
it's a great looking book. And of course, you know what? And last but not least, you get the artwork on the cover by Alex Ross.
Lovely. Hey, that's Batman 66 meets the Green Hornet, number one of six.
Yeah, of six.
It's available at your local comic book shop.
And I really, really like that one. Now,
check that one out.
Well, I know I don't think you've ever seen this movie. I know young Shecky has. Big Trouble in Little China.
I have seen it.
There you go.
I'm Jack Burton. Where's my truck?
Well, you know what? There is now a Big Trouble in Little China comic book.
My goodness.
And this is out by Boom Studios. And it's even what do you call it? Like, not sponsored, but it's been okayed by.
Sponsored?
Well, that's, I don't know. What's the word? It's okayed? It's got the okay from John Carpenter.
Pick one of the two words.
John Carpenter. The story's actually.
Approved.
Well, the story's actually by John Carpenter.
Right.
And Eric Powell. Eric Powell is, of course, the goon
fame.
Well,
if it's by them, they probably approve it.
Well, yeah, right? Yeah. Like, but, you know, a lot of times these guys like to do things they don't really want to have anything to do with it. Now, John Carpenter and Eric Powell.
I got to do things, but not want anything to do with it.
I got nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
Brian Chirilla is the artist. Great looking book. And you know what? I love the look of the book. It's fun. It's got a real cartoony feel to it. And it's got all kinds of covers. So good luck on getting all the different variants of the covers. There's like you know, San Diego Comic-Con exclusive. There's a Baltimore exclusive that has Frank Cho in a couple times. There's all different exclusive covers.
If I could step in and check you, the producer, for a moment.
Yeah.
Is that how they expect to actually get sales on this book? Is by having so many different covers that one guy might actually buy 20?
You know what? It's very possible. It's very possible because, you know, if you're a fan of the show, if you're a fan of the movie, you may actually go out and buy them all.
It has so much underground, like, credit to its name because of how bad it was. It was one of the quintessential.
Good.
No, bad, bad.
It was bad, good.
But it was one of those quintessential, like, 80s, you know, you get a little bit of the technology and CGI, and you got like the you know, Oriental fighting style and everything, and the mythology.
What's the other one like that? Buckaroo Banzai.
Buckaroo Banzai, really like cult phenomenon.
Yeah, cult phenomenon, just like this one.
Yeah, yeah. Right. And you know what? So this is a great book. What I really love about this book is the fact that it actually takes place immediately after the other one ended. So the other one, the movie ended, and now all of a sudden this takes place like literally like minutes afterwards.
Right
after Lopan.
So
right after he gets back in the Jack Burton gets back in the truck.
Right.
Whoa, he finally gets his way back into the truck.
Well, don't you remember that? He gets back in the truck, and then there's that creature thing, and then the movie ends.
Spoiler alert is usually what you say.
It's old, old enough.
So this is Big Trouble in Little China season 2.
Yeah, pretty much.
Number one from Boom Studios is available at your local comic book shop today. You have to check this out. This is good.
Can I just pose a question to you guys?
Sure, what up?
Pose.
Will that make it to issue number 4?
I think so, yeah, for sure. I think so. If it's supposed to. It may not.
So,
I don't know if it's
supposed to. So you're one of these guys who's buying 20 copies of number 1.
Then. I won't be buying a single one.
Well, Chris, you can't say that on the air.
You know, I know.
People are listening.
You know what? Okay, maybe I'll buy one.
I hope.
Maybe I'll buy one. We'll see.
Oh, okay. That's nice of you.
We'll see.
Hey, listen, you owe it to yourself to head down to your local comic book shop and try one.
Try one.
First one's always free.
Yeah.
No.
Tell him Walt sent you, and he says I can have 50% off.
Yeah. All right, look, we haven't done this in a while.
Kids
pick of the week.
Oh yeah,
is that what we haven't done?
Looney Tunes number 219.
Looney Tunes,
and you know what? Why not? Looney Tunes is still going. 219 issues later. That's are there any? There's, and this is by DC. There's no DC books that are that high in number, right?
Really? What about like for kids? You mean?
Yeah.
None of the Tiny Titans or anything like
no,
that.
No, they stop and start, and they have like miniseries and that kind of thing.
Or like Teen Titans?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Hmm. Yeah, this is wonderful stuff.
This is great. This is good stuff. And you know what? It already even has you know, the Bugs as a cowboy, or not Bugs, Daffy as a cowboy, which I know you're a big
fan
of.
You know what? I wanted to ask you something about
this.
I saw you put this in your pile.
Yeah.
And I liked it. And I'm a huge fan of Looney Tunes, and you are, and we all are. And like, I can tell you personally that my 13-year-old, when he was 12, 11, or whatever, you know, you catch him at home, you'd walk in, and he's on a, you know, Sunday afternoon in the winter.
Yeah.
What's he got on? He's got Looney Tunes on.
Right.
You don't know how good I felt,
yeah,
right? And
we'd
watch it together and stuff like that. But he loved loves
yeah.
The Looney Tunes, like that old classic Chuck Jones directed
right,
Looney Tunes.
Right,
the
yeah.
Fritz Freeling stuff, the earlier stuff,
yeah, yeah.
not so much, but that.
Chuck Jones
yeah,
one.
He just are those the best
you know what?
Cartoons of all time?
I think so. I think so. You I know what? So the Chuck like, Jones.
They usurp Flintstones and Simpsons yeah, yeah. and everything.
They are so long lasting that it's crazy how long these things have gone. Like, they're still, you can watch them 20 years ago, you watch them today, and they're still funny. Yeah. I showed them, I taught an animation history class.
Uh-huh.
I showed them in that. All the kids loved it. Like, they absolutely thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
You know, and they're great now. They were great 50 years ago. They're timeless.
They have the right element of everything. They've got the right, you know, writing, sort of, you know, smart sort yeah. of story, beginning, middle, end, humor. They've got a lot of that slapstickiness.
Yeah.
You know? They've
yeah.
got, like, the little quips that are in there, yeah. the one-liners.
They're digestible,
you know?
Because they're 3, 4, 5 minutes long.
Yeah, yeah.
The right attention span.
So, you know. So I guess what I want to ask you guys is, because, you know, we've discussed this before on air,
yep.
is the dynamics of the local comic book shop, because you and I are here on 93.3 CFMU.
Yes.
McMaster Radio to champion the local comic book shop. We've discussed the dynamics of, you know, Disney's products on the shelves and the kids coming in.
Right,
and maybe
right.
not interested in it.
Well,
right? But the parents are pushing it.
Yeah,
right?
yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Looney Tunes, I'm wondering if the parents are pushing it. I hope not. I mean, based on, like, my kid, he's really enjoying
The show. Yep.
So perhaps.
Maybe. You know. Yeah. But you know what? I got to say that when I was a kid, as much as I loved comics, I was never a fan of the Looney Tunes comic, like the old Gold Key one
sure.
that we used to have.
Yeah.
I found there was something that was missing in the translation myself.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I still think they're great.
Yeah.
But I think that there's sometimes there's a translation issue there.
Okay, fair enough.
Anyways.
All right. Looney Tunes number 219 from DC Comics
right.
is available at your local comic book shop.
And those and many others are available
many.
At your local comic book shop. At least 4,000 are coming out today.
Minimum.
Shecky?
And those in the 4,000 were sponsored by...
Oh, we have a sponsor. Oh, wow.
Which is, usually comes before New This Week.
Yeah, you know what?
This week they decided to put it at the end there so that it could stop you from rolling through all the sponsors.
That's true.
So New This Week was brought to you by the 1990s. When else could you go blind trying to read the front cover of your comic books?
It's very true. Do you remember all those different foil covers and all that kind of stuff?
I do.
Yeah,
I do.
Unfortunately.
Weren't they highly not collectible?
They were highly collectible for, like, a millisecond.
Yeah.
A nanosecond.
Yeah.
And then it went away.
Okay.
It was kind of like the German Deutschmark, where every day they became more and more useful for kindling than they mm-hmm. actually did for
keeping.
That
was in the 1920s.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Well.
Are you done? I don't know where we are. All right, listen. We need music.
We need some crants. Everyone's dying for crants in the pants.
Crants.
And so here we go.
Chris, all day long, Krantz.
All day long. All day long.
All day long.
Take that bass line for a walk, would you?
Nice, nice, nice.
All right, listen.
Thanks, Shecky, for that.
Good
job. I feel like I'm 2 for 2, but I'm going to lay it thick on you.
It's early. It's early.
I'm going to lay it thick on you right now.
Right on.
Shecky ain't doing no 3 for 3.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
All right. All right. No threesome for Shecky.
No threesome.
Look, let's...
Wait, that one I want. Wait, can we back that up? Beep, beep. Isn't that what we do?
We're going to continue on here. And, Chuck, do you have a sponsor for industry news?
We do, Christopher. Thank you for asking. Industry news brought to you by Niagara Falls Comic Con, where the comic book men can tell you what it's like to be Kevin Smith's pawns.
Yeah. You know what? Very, very true.
Hey, they will all be there.
Yeah, the comic book men will be at the Niagara Falls Comic Con.
I think mine is Kevin Smith.
Hey,
with the monkeys.
Yeah. As will we be there.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
hold on. First, why don't you first tell them when and where this is going to be?
Cack up my tongue. The Niagara Falls Comic Con being held June 6th to 8th, which is this weekend.
Yep.
At the
Scotiabank Convention
Scotiabank Convention Center in lovely downtown Niagara Falls.
6815 Stanley Avenue.
Niagara Falls, New York. Ontario.
Yeah, it is Ontario. Not New York.
Niagara Falls, Ontario. So Chris Owen, Shecky Feldstein, and myself will be there this weekend.
Throughout the weekend.
Yeah. And we're looking forward to you guys coming by. We'll be at the Big B Comics booth.
Yes.
One of the two. I think we have two.
Yes, yeah. I think you're right. You have two islands.
We'll be at the one that's less busy.
Very true. Yeah. Very true.
So come by and say hi. Say, hey, you'll get off the air. Something. You need any kind of feedback.
Tell us something.
Yeah, we prefer negative, to tell you the truth. So come by, say hi to us. But also, like the Shekster said, the comic book men will be there.
Yes.
Let's
just very quickly.
It's a good lineup.
We should talk about the guests are going to be there.
We know who puts on the Niagara Show, Walt. And honestly, I feel like they're aggressive enough that every year, it seems like for the past, it's only been 3 years really of a decent sized show.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Every year it is getting exponentially bigger in stars and the names of people coming out.
I agree. Yeah. Listen, for those of you who haven't heard it yet, William Shatner is going to be there on the Sunday. Good old Bill Shatner.
Mm-hmm.
Just to make sure to keep all you people that can't arrive on the Sunday, if you're going on Saturday or Friday and you still want to see some Star Trek people, Marina Sirtis from Star Trek Next Generation is going to be there
Chris,
as well.
Chris, you know what? I'm excited about Peter Mayhew.
I know.
Because I've been practicing all week.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
What?
Well, I want to come up to the table and say, hey, I got a great, what's the character he called?
Chewbacca.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I got a great Chewbacca impression. I wanted to show him.
You know what? I think you should test it out on the air today.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Isn't that great?
Awesome.
That's like, I think I nailed them down. It's the nuance.
It is. You know what? It's the nuance.
You should be commissioned for like the anti like seal clubbing campaign, really. That sounded like to me.
Yeah, so this is a great lineup at the Niagara Falls Comic Con. Hey, and I want to plug the Niagara Falls Comic Con in one way, in many ways. But one of the ways is this is a very approachable show.
Yes.
First of all, you're not fighting the downtown Toronto gridlock or New York or San Diego or the craziness of it. But it brings the flavor of a big show into a small town. And you're really, really going to have a good time. There's no excuse if you live within a 58-hour traveling radius of the show. There's no reason why you can't make this show.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. I completely agree. You know what?
This show isn't as bonkers as the Fan Expo, and it's in a spot that's, most people can travel to easily enough. There's big parking space everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
This is an easily attainable, day out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And so let's just very quickly go over. I don't want to go over all of them, but I want to go over some of the guests that are going to be there.
True.
And I actually have a beef about all the guests, but I'll get to that in a second. So
every one of them?
I said we're just going to go over a couple.
Okay, go ahead.
Peter Mayhew from Star Wars, Ernie Hudson from Ghostbusters is going to be there. Interestingly enough, Giancarlo Esposito from Breaking Bad. That's the guy that owned the chicken place.
I don't watch the
show. Oh, okay. Wait, well, he owned the chicken.
Like the fried chicken place?
Have you watched Breaking Bad?
No.
Okay, well then, if you've seen it. No, I don't remember the name of it, but it's some sort of chicken place. Dean Cain from Lois and Clark. Uh-huh. Now, for those, this is interesting. So, Doctor Who fans, Sylvester McCoy is going to be there. He was one of the doctors.
Right.
So, he's going to be there. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Kevin Sorbo, your good buddy there, Shecky, from Hercules.
Oh, I met him a little while ago, a few years ago, That was great.
Alan Ruck from Ferris Bueller's Day Off is going to be there. Now, some of the people that are going to the show are fans of stuff from the
90s.
Yeah. So Jason Priestley and Luke Perry from 90210 are going to be there.
Yeah.
You know, Chandler Riggs from Walking Dead. Burt Young from Rocky is going to be there.
See, that's the guy I want to go see.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I want to go see Burt Young.
Yeah.
Because he was awesome in Rocky. He's a great actor. He's a great character actor.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I don't want to say 100 movies, but.
He might be.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I love Burt Young.
Now, David Faustino from Married with Children is going to be there.
Awesome.
Is that the kid? Ben?
Bob?
Bud. Right.
Yeah.
Now, this is interesting. So, Erika Eleniak, who from Baywatch, who's a blonde actress, who was also in Playboy, I believe.
Yes.
I'm just saying it might be in Playboy. Not that I would have seen that.
Yeah.
Her and Pam probably shared a lot of screen time together.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. Now, for those of our listening audience, if they're like into the manga stuff and the anime, we've got Sailor Moon voice cast is going to be there. And you know what? And why not? People from Growing Pains, Tracy Gold is going to be there.
Tracy who?
Tracy Gold. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right
now, okay.
And, what
now,
Tracy were you thinking
and,
of? Well?
And there's,
no, Gold, obviously.
You know what? There's a bunch of wrestlers there, like the Killer Bees and the Demolition People will be there. Now, here's my problem with this. Okay, Walt?
You have a problem?
I do have a problem with this. Now, featured artists. Remember, this is a Niagara Falls Comic Con.
Yes.
There are far more guest stars, like more like celebrity type stars, than there are comic book people.
Yeah.
And I have a problem with that.
If
you're calling it a Comic Con, have flipping comic book people there. Now, granted, they've got Neil Adams, okay, which is a big name.
And Kevin Eastman.
Kevin Eastman, co-creator of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah. And Phil Ortiz, who plays for the Red Sox.
Okay, so Phil Ortiz, he's a Simpson artist. And
Dan
Parent, he's an Archie Comics artist.
Uh-huh.
Leonard Kirk is going to be there.
I love Leonard Kirk.
Love Leonard Kirk. Ken Lashley, who worked on Superman. Marco Rudy worked on Marvel Knights Spider-Man. A couple other guys. Arthur Sudum.
Hey, we have to plug Richard Cumley, who will be there.
Richard Cumley will be there. But you know what? And that's about it. Like, we've got Ken Lashley, Mike Del Mundo, Arthur Sudum, Mike Ruth, and then that's about it. Like,
hold on.
You know, well, like,
you've got 10 that are in the featured artists listed. You know, I mean, like, really, there are going to be a lot more artists that are there.
But okay.
They always sneak under the radar.
Okay.
You have to go with your big guns. You have to go with your big boss man, Dean Cain, getting stuff done. You got to advertise him.
But
he'll draw in 50,000 people alone.
You're right.
And 40 of them might go and wander off and find an artist they really like, and they're like, man, I'm happily surprised that Marco Rudy is there.
But Checky,
great
here's the thing. Chris and I are old purists, and we don't want the Niagara Falls Comic-Con to turn into the San Diego Comic-Con.
No, I don't I don't mind if it's San Diego. I don't want it to turn into the Detroit Motor City Con, where we get Sika all these.
That's a good thing.
Well, okay.
That's a good thing. But in a sense, we don't want it to turn into the San Diego Comic-Con, where the least busy part of the con is the comic.
Okay.
Section.
Can I take a moment just to give my end of that?
Sure.
Sure.
Again, Shecky's putting on his producer pants right now. This is what makes conventions work. People come to see like the teenage heartthrobs of yesteryear, the 90210. I'm going to be honest right now. They have no business being at this show.
Okay.
Jason Priestley and Luke Perry. But you know what? They're going to get a lot of 30-something-year-old women coming to their...
And you're right. I got to throw a plug in to Pat Mastriano, who's going to be there, too.
Ooh,
right.
Joey Jeremiah.
Jeremiah will be
there.
Fair enough.
I understand. Like, that's what grows a show.
I get it.
That's what makes it explode. That's what makes attendance boom. And that's what makes it more of like a media event, right?
I get it. Hold on. Hold on a second here.
Right. Hold on.
What I'm trying to say is, don't call it a Comic-Con, then. If it's not...
Loosely based around comics.
Tell me how many 90210 comics are.
Yeah, and how many World Wrestling Federation comics.
Let's look at the list here, right? Sailor Moon made her way into comics. Walking Dead was a comic first. We have Superman, which was a comic book first. Ghostbusters was turned into a comic book. We've got Star Wars turned into a comic book. Star Trek turned into a comic book. Should I keep continuing?
Hercules
was a character forever in comic books.
Tell me about the Growing Pains comic book and or the, I don't know, Barbie blank comic book.
Hey, listen, guys. I was hoping
you
were picking the
today's special comic book. I don't want you guys to get into a huge argument here. Hey. So what we'll do is we'll...
All I'm saying is there's leeway for these sort of characters in their shows.
I'm bitter.
Bitterman.
Very Bitterman. How is John doing?
Bitterman. He's not good.
He has an email. I know. He must not be. Well,
he's happy. Or maybe he has an email. He's happy.
He must be happy. Yeah.
Hey, listen, we look forward to seeing everybody down at the Niagara Falls Comic Con. Pop into the Big B booth. Say hi.
All right. Listen. Let's continue on. I think we need to have a musical
after
interlude.
That, after I do. I need to cleanse.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah. There's no continuing on here. There's a
music
break, which, you know what? Number one in my heart, right here. We're throwing down some Huey for you there, Walt.
You haven't. You turned that off a little too late.
I completely agree.
I love. Who's that?
Huey Lewis.
Huey Lewis and the News.
That's like the song from Back to the Future. You know.
That what that was?
Yeah.
It sounded familiar.
Yeah.
Right.
That's one of
okay.
The best
I apologize.
Pop culture films. Of
you
the
know
80s,
what? I
the
love.
Trilogies,
I love
you know?
That song.
Marty McFly. I'm named after Marty.
Hello.
McFly, I'd like to think.
I love that song.
In my mind, I'm named after him. You know.
What do you want from me?
All
anyway,
right.
Big Huey Lewis and the News fan, I am not.
No, okay, look.
I knew I was striking out with that one.
More industry news, sponsor there, Marty. Sorry, Shecky.
Shecky.
Oh, boy. Well, you know what? As it should be, Industry News Part 2 brought to you in part by Huey Lewis and the News, creating cornerstone rock hits since the 80s just for your listening pleasure.
Indeed.
Okay, look. Hey, all right. Before we get into the hardcore industry news,
hardcore.
I know how much you like hardcore. I very quickly need to talk about. Okay, so we're located here. We're in Hamilton. We're broadcast on 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio.
Yes, we are.
This week, I was at the local Costco in Ancaster, which is close to Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
And there is – you ever go to, you know, the Fan Expo and or some other big convention?
Sure.
And they get all those – you're walking around, and all of a sudden there's a booth there that has all kinds of prints and pieces of artwork, like fine art collectibles with Stan Lee's autographs on them or lithographs from Alex Ross, all signed by Alex.
Yeah.
They are at Costco right now.
Really?
With up to a third off the normal prices that you would normally see at the conventions.
Uh-huh. Wow.
So a lithograph. Who's there? Choice Collectibles.
Uh-huh.
I told her I would give her a plug.
Nice.
Choice Collectibles and Nancy Fabricant, who's the senior vice president of this place. She is out there right now, and they do all kinds of signings from Stan Lee and from Alex Ross, and they've got original artwork from the Looney Tunes and the Warner Brothers stuff. They're at Costco right now selling all their prints and all their fine artwork. So they have some there that would normally be $1,500 at one of these shows, selling them for $900.
Listen, boss will fire me, but you could have it for $9.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So Nancy, is she nice?
Yeah, very nice person.
Did she get her number?
No.
Apparently you did. You got it on the card here.
Hey, now.
Okay. Listen, Choice Collectibles is...
At Costco
in Hamilton, or what's it called?
Ancaster.
But you know what? If you ever wanted to get one of those really cool autograph lithographs, you know, a great time to go and get one for like a third off.
That seems
lovely.
Like such an interesting angle for them to do.
I know.
To go to Costco.
So weird. You know? So weird.
Nice.
Yeah.
Hey, I like it,
though. Hey, while you get your 5-gallon drum of mayo, why don't you also pick up this nice lithograph?
This is one-of-a-kind lithograph, signed and numbered.
Yeah. Awesome.
Anyways, just I said I'd throw a plug over.
Beautiful.
Okay.
Hey, Nancy.
That was great. What was that?
That's a shout-out.
Okay, I like it. Let's... Now, Walt, you're a fan of comic book movies.
Sure am.
Interestingly enough, you know, it looks like comic book based movies are the highest grossing movies in 2014 so far.
In the whole world.
In the whole world.
Get the heck out of here.
Come on back in, because it's true.
So, I read the article too, and it says the three biggest movies worldwide this year are Captain America, Amazing Spider-Man 2, X-Men Days of Future Past, as of, I guess, the end of...
Last weekend.
Yeah. They had total grossing of, what, $1.9 billion worldwide.
And if you talk about the fourth comic book based movies, which is 300 Rise of an Empire, it's number eight, and it came giving the segment number four of the top 10 movies with over $2.23 billion.
Right, sold. And then you still got Guardians of the Galaxy coming, Sin City coming this year.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You're probably looking at $3+ billion this year,
all based on comic book movies.
On comic book movies, yeah. And I love this, and this is what you and I have talked about for years.
Yes, it's so true.
And the fact that comic books has been the place for great ideas, great stories.
Well, we have said that, you know, Hollywood is getting all their best ideas from comic books.
Right.
And you and I, we've been on the air now for
17 years.
Yeah,
I think. Yeah.
And we've said that since day one.
Yeah, and what you think about it? I mean, I was thinking about this a little bit today when I read it. I mean, I don't know how to say this. I mean, so let's go forward 300 years.
Yep.
And you go back to an archaeologist or anthropologist, whatever the hell you call those people.
Yeah, archaeologist, yeah.
Historian.
Yeah.
And I think people are going to look back, Chris, I think.
At our show?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. And they're going to look back at American culture.
Culture, right. Yes.
Of the mid-20th century.
Okay.
I'm going to pick the 50-year span. I'm just going to arbitrarily here right now pick the 50-year span from, say, 38 to 88. Okay, 1938 to 1988.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
This is a social experiment with the advent of media, like radio, like television.
Computers.
And eventually computers. But what happened is that American experience, and only in America really it happened.
Yeah,
created ideas.
Yep. Nobody else in the world had ideas.
Well, no, everybody else in the world had ideas, but nobody else in the world really had the same setup to make those ideas flourish.
Right.
Right.
Okay. Right.
So in some places in the world, ideas were suppressed.
Well, it was still sort
in
of
other places in the world. Ideas just floundered because there was no mechanism to deliver them to the customer, right? So everything came into place in that United States of America from, say, in the mid-30s to whenever, that mid-century part. And when you think about it right now, we are living off the fruits of that time, of that creative time.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that span of decades is kind of unheard of and unprecedented and in terms of the creativity and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, in this era, you had the creation of the superheroes. In this era, you had the Chuck Jones Looney Tunes.
There was a certain amount of freedom that was allowed.
Yeah, in this era, you had Walt Disney flourishing.
Yep, yep,
in this era, you had all that stuff that set up what we have today.
Yeah.
And it seems like it's all coming – it's all spreading across the world now is what I was trying to get to. Now, everybody's accepting this and realizing is, wow, what a heritage. What ideas, what great vehicles for storytelling, for cinematic, adventures, these things are.
Yep, I agree. Awesome. No, I completely agree. And you know what? Finally, Hollywood and the rest of the world is finding out what we already knew for a long time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. They should listen to us from the beginning.
I know. And why didn't they?
Yeah.
Look, you know what? Speaking of movies.
Speaking of.
We mentioned Guardians of the Galaxy, which is coming out in August of this year.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, now, let's just back it up. Beep. Beep,
beep, beep, beep.
At the end of the Avengers movie, we saw a shadowy figure turn around and grin. And for those in the know, we all found out that the character was Thanos.
Uh-huh.
And we're finding out now that Thanos is going to be sort of a player in the Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
Right.
And now we're finding out that finally that actor has been named who's going to play Thanos, and it's Josh Brolin.
Josh Brolin.
Now,
explain to me who exactly Josh Brolin is.
Great. Okay, great question. So Josh Brolin is a great character actor. He's been in a lot of movies, movies that you don't necessarily know of. For example, he was in, like, as a young kid, he was in The Goonies.
Oh, I was going to tell you, that's my favorite movie.
Oh, see, there you go. Yeah.
Chris, you ruined Christmas once again.
Well, you know, I just threw it out there. Also, he was in No Country for Old Men.
Right, okay.
He was Jonah Hex in the Jonah Hex movie.
Oh, nice, okay.
So he's one of these guys that's been in a lot of movies. Recently, I think he was in a movie called Labor Day, where he plays an ex-con.
He's got like a little bit of a gruff persona to him. Uh-huh. Yeah. In his older days, like he's got like a little bit of the gruff sort of thing, kind of like a... You know, he's not quite the same as like the Mickey Rourke or like the Chris Christopherson, but he's, you know, like a gruff guy. He could be a Western guy,
yeah,
you know, like
right
Jonah
on.
Hex.
So he's doing the voice of Thanos.
Thanos. Is it just the voice?
Yeah.
Well, right. Yes.
Well,
voice.
He's
voice
not
Thanos.
Being
yes.
A CG character.
Yeah.
That's one thing.
So
he's not doing.
Well, they could have done like one of those things, like
so.
The
hey,
with
so
thing.
Okay. Let
like
me
the
ask
guy
you
with
something.
The thing.
Well, you know, I meant
oh,
with
yeah, the guy with the thing,
Gollum.
Uh-huh.
Gollum was a character.
Andy...
Circus.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could have been something like that.
So...
Nah,
thank you.
Let me ask
not.
You guys something. Okay. Before you know how... what's the guy's name that plays Iron Man?
Robert Downey Jr.
Robert
yeah.
Downey Jr. You know
was
how
that
people
him?
Are... You know how people are saying, you know, oh my God, Robert Downey Jr. is Iron Man. You know, remember we talked about before, Arnold is Conan.
Like
yes,
Hugh
yes.
Jackman is
Hugh
Wolverine.
Hugh Jackman is
yeah.
Wolverine. Is that possible for voice actors?
That's a great question. Yes and no. You know what? Yeah, I'm going to say yes and no. It's really tough.
Yeah. Except that voice actor that played Fred Flintstone. He's the only Fred Flintstone
well, yeah,
I
right,
could possibly
right. Okay. And understand. And it's hard. There's a guy that plays. Geez, I don't remember his name now. There's a guy that played the voice of Batman for in the animated series for a long time, for like 20 years.
Right.
Right.
And there's a lot of people that say he is.
Batman.
He's Batman. Yeah. He's Batman
like,
as much as Adam West is Batman.
Sure.
It'd be like if Mark Hamill, you know, doing the voice of the Joker in the series. Like
right.
In the
yeah,
show.
And people
it's
say
just,
that
yeah.
he's. They say that Mark Hamill is the definitive
yeah.
Joker.
Sure, yeah.
Right?
Or anybody that tries a Bugs Bunny now is not Mel Blanc.
Right, exactly.
And
yeah.
it's not Bugs Bunny, and it doesn't sound right.
Yeah. Right? Okay, absolutely right.
So, I guess Josh Brolin could, you know, if he's good enough, I guess, if he's distinct enough.
He could be, yes.
He could be, you know, Thanos
yeah.
and
yeah.
the only Thanos.
Absolutely.
So you can have a voice. I don't know, I mean, like,
but
okay, let's go around the horn here.
Okay.
Yeah.
I personally would have liked Arnold.
Me too.
As the voice?
Oh, yeah.
100%.
I'm out.
You'll crush the Avengers.
Yes.
No, I'm totally out. I think Arnold is too well known. And
yeah.
I think it would have... made the movie too campy.
Don't wake my friend. He's dead. Tired. No.
Yeah.
On the plane? Nah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's why exactly why I wouldn't want to see him as Thanos.
All right, I guess so. I guess, you know, Sir Stallone wouldn't have been good either, you know. Yo.
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 Yo. Yo, Natasha.
Yo, Adrian.
Nice outfit.
Yeah.
All
no,
right, so,
no, I'm out. I'm
yeah,
out.
I don't
I'm
know. I like... So the guy that back it up. So the guy that played the voice of Thanos in that little 8-second clip
yes.
in the Avengers.
Well, there's no voice.
A different guy.
All I did was smile.
Oh,
you
was
never
it?
Said anything.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
all right,
yeah, yeah.
All right. So hey,
but there was an actual guy that played him.
Right.
So there's no reason why there couldn't be a guy that plays him in this one.
Okay. All right. So we hope that
probably
Josh Brolin
won't be the actual actor.
Definitive Thanos.
It's very, very possible.
Okay.
It's very, very possible. All right, look, we're going to talk about Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah.
Free Comic Book Day.
Wasn't that like a year ago?
Yeah, but you know what?
It was a month ago.
They don't find out all the statistics
yeah,
and
so
all,
they
the,
got
all
stats
that kind of stuff
out.
Until now, right?
Oh. Yeah.
They got
and
all
everything
the,
is up.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing, right? So
it's always a good thing when
it's
they
good
are
up.
It's always a good
up.
Thing.
Yeah,
yeah. What do we have? We have everything is up. We had... Chris, I'm reading the thing. The tweets were up. I've never tweeted in my life. Apparently,
do you, do you know what that is?
It's something to do with
Twitter.
Looney Tunes.
Tweety Bird.
Tweety Bird. Yeah, so the,
you know, that should really be the new logo of Twitter. Yeah, a silhouette of Tweety Bird.
It's Tweety Bird, yeah. So the tweets are up. The visits to Comic Shop Locator are up. Diamond Comic Distributors, who's the monopoly on comic distribution, said 2,100 shops participated.
Yep.
With about a million fans coming into the shops, which is an average
of
500.
That is amazing.
Fans per shop, which is great.
Yeah.
4.7 million comics were given out. The thing is growing. The thing has grown, and it's the best free comic book day ever, according to all reports. And 87% of the retailers rated the free comic book day as extremely successful, which tells me that they will order more next year. They will do more next year. They will advertise more next year. And I got to talk about this. I got to talk about the advertising for
Free Comic Book Day. Yeah, this is great. This is awesome.
Because our shop advertised on the local radio station.
Right.
We advertised on local newspaper.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we advertised on our store, on our street sign. You know, you advertise wherever you can, right?
But this is awesome. I love this story.
Guy. So this guy, Dave Downey, kudos to Dave Downey, who owns
World's Best Comics and Toys.
He caught three teen thieves stealing his Flintstones replica car from the front of his shop.
Okay, hold on. Just pause it there for 1 second.
Yeah.
I just want to know. So are we talking like a full-size Flintstones replica car that you could, like, sit in and, like...
Are they trying to, like, run it out? Like,
yeah,
it out,
you
like,
know.
I'm going to say yes.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice?
That'd be great to see.
So anyways, he had this Flintstones replica car.
No wonder they didn't make it.
Yeah.
He had this Flintstones replica car out in front of his shop, which was cool. Probably had people stopping by.
Yeah.
Anyway, a bunch of punk asses came and stole it. He caught them.
Awesome.
So he made them stand in front of his shop with signs for 10 hours dressed up as the Flintstones.
Yeah.
All free comic book day in exchange for... not charging them.
That's awesome.
Grand Theft Auto.
10 hours, eh? Did he give them the labor law mandated breaks and lunch times?
Probably not.
Probably not.
I don't know. He might be in a labor dispute now.
Yeah, we might be right. But I mean, the great news is there. It was picked up by all the local media, and it was even picked up by CBS
Network
awesome. News.
Yeah,
and,
that's awesome.
So what you got to do is stage some sort of felony.
That is great. You know,
stage some sort of felony.
Yeah.
So pretend.
Yeah.
So secretly hire some three kids for pizza and wings on the side.
Yeah.
And then just tell them, well, these guys tried to steal something from me.
Right.
Nice.
I'm sure that's not what happened here, but it's great. It's great that the event got covered. It's great. This day is an important day for comic books. Yeah. It's an important day for your local shops.
Hey, no publicity is bad publicity. Mm-hmm. Right? If it's getting twice the viewership and twice the, the reach to everyone, I mean, it's...
Yeah, I still have that concern. I know we discussed this, but we're going to drop it real quickly, is that the event has outgrown the traditional local comic book shop.
Right, right, right.
So gone are the days of you doubling your attendance because...
It's too big now.
Yeah, everybody's got that, 1,000-square-foot store, and to get 600 people in that day is too much already.
Yeah, okay, so I got a question for you here.
You know,
is it possible... for some of the larger area comic book shops, like a Hamilton, like a Toronto, like a Mississauga, wherever it happens to be,
mm-hmm.
could feasibly you rent out a local major arena of some sort and bring your wares to that place and then have everybody go to that arena?
I think we've talked about this before.
Yeah, you could, but I still think the whole idea of Free Comic Book Day is to get them into your physical location.
Yeah. But I guess I'm trying to think of ways of you can't possibly expand it unless you start getting tents.
I 100% understand where you're coming from. Like, my first idea was like a Legion Hall or like a banquet hall
like
of some kind.
Yeah.
You have five different stores who all go in on it together.
Yep.
They all get their own corner or whatever respectively.
That's a con.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Making like a Free Comic Book Day
mini
event. But it's like a combined joint event, where every store tells them, hey, meet at this, city center of some kind, where all of the city's comic book stores
are kind of doing a joint effort. I think
you do food together. And
it's not going to work.
Yeah. All right, listen. Let's have a quick musical interlude here, and then we'll get back to more industry news in a moment. Do you have anything lined up for us there, Shexter?
Aqua.
Does whatever.
Fish. Swims. Way. Anytime.
Catches these. Just like.
Blank.
I don't know what was going on with that. We're having some technical difficulties there.
I think what I found was a nifty little. Altered version.
Yeah, I think.
Of
can
the
you,
Aquaman theme.
Can you grab us something that's we know what we know is going to be okay?
I don't even know. What do we know that?
Well,
be okay?
Well, you know what I mean. Let's just have a quick. We're just going to get Marty's. Shecky's just going to quickly dial something up here on the tunesage, and he's got something ready to go. Anytime now.
Dark Blue Banner, melted by gamma rays, turned into the Hulk.
Eight neon gamma rays,
wrecking the town with the power of a bull.
Ain't no monster clown who is as lovable
as ever-loving Hulk.
The ever-loving Hulk. Hulk.
And you know what's cool about that cartoon and everything is how it's very cartoony from an outdated sort of source drawing.
Yeah,
it's just like it's like a puppet dancing around.
Well, you know? Those cartoons, those were I can't remember the name of them now. Those all came out in the 1960s, mm-hmm. and that's where you had like when Captain America throws his mighty shield. There's a whole series of different cartoons.
Sound like Boy Scout songs, you know?
Well,
like, they really do.
Kind of, yeah. Like, there's a Thor one, and there's a Submariner one, which is very odd to me. But what's the name? Remember all those old 1960s Marvel cartoons? I think it was 60s, maybe 70s.
Uh-huh.
With like Captain America throws. Do you remember the name of the company that did all that was?
Krantz?
No, it wasn't Krantz.
You wish, pal.
Okay, oh, I don't geez. Know. All right. I'm sorry. Yeah. Don't ask me questions like that ever again.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
All right. What do we got next?
Up next, we are going to... Oh, sorry. What do you got there, Shexter?
Well, up next is brought to you by whatever up next should be, by comic book movies. Admit it. You love to hate them and know you'll pay to see them.
Right. Okay. Oh, right. Okay. Sounds good.
You weren't listening to our sponsor, but that's okay, Chris.
I heard comic
they
book movies...
They paid us anyway.
I heard what you said.
Yeah. Comic Book Daily, who sponsored us?
Sure. That's what it was.
Comic Book Daily?
Yeah. Okay.
Good outfit.
They're okay. They do a good job.
Yeah. We podcast at Comic Book Daily, and we're obviously every week at this time on what's the station called?
93.3
CFMU McMaster Radio.
Right. Okay. Listen, we're
on getthepointradio.com, by the way, too.
Maybe. We're not sure. We need to talk about Star Wars. Talk about Star Wars.
Yes.
Listen, Oscar winner Lupita Nyong'o has been added to the cast of Star Wars Episode 7, along with Game of Thrones actress Gwendolyn Christie, according to...
Dateline.
Now, okay, so Gwendolyn Christie, she's a very tall blonde.
Is it Brienne?
Brienne of Tarth.
I don't know how the name
I'm Brienne of Tarth.
You know, I think
it's just like one of those
like an old Celtic druid type.
So she's going to be in it, and Lupita Nyong'o, she was in 12 Years a Slave.
Right.
There it is right there. Yes, Brienne of Tarth in Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
So look, you know what? Now all of a sudden we have for the stars of this Star Wars movie, we've got John Boyega, Daisy Ridley, Adam Driver, Oscar Isaac, Andy Serkis.
Oh, there's your Serkis.
There you go.
Folk there that you got. Yeah.
Domhnall Gleeson and Max von Sydow.
I
love that.
You know how you know when you're old.
You know
when the only guy you recognize out of there is the 90-year-old.
Which one is that?
The only guy I know from there is Max von Sydow.
Who also played my favorite Brewmeister Schmidt from Strange Brew.
And
Strange Brew.
So a bunch of young actors.
Take off,
but,
you hoser.
But we have, of course, Harrison Ford, Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, all coming back.
Anthony Daniels, Peter Mayhew, and, of course, Kenny Baker, who played R2-D2.
Hey, and you know what you can do if you were a street-savvy kid? You can go to the Niagara Falls Comic Con next weekend and attack Peter Mayhew for some vital information about the new film.
Sure
vital.
Can.
Vital.
Maybe
vital.
You can. I don't know.
So, okay. So this basically it's about 500 more sleeps until the new Star Wars movie.
Probably about that. Yeah, about that. Yeah. I like how you said that. 500 more sleeps.
Well, if you're a 14-year-old kid who has an addiction to Red Bull, then it might be like 300.
Yeah, that's true.
So $200 million budget, which is kind of standard for the huge movies these days. Now, Chris, you lived through it. I know that you're a Star Wars fan.
Right.
That you're a big Star Wars fan.
Yes.
I know that Star Wars is a big part of your life.
It was, right.
Now, I'm going to ask you a personal question.
Okay, go ahead.
You're a kid coming up through those three classic movies, you know, A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back. And then all that anticipation and all that expectation and all of that anticipation. Did I ever say anticipation?
Say anticipation one more time.
Okay. And then those other three movies in the late 90s. Yeah. What was that like? I mean, as a fan, were you disappointed? As a fan,
you know, I was lucky enough that I had connections. I got to see a sneak preview of Phantom Menace before anybody else did.
All right.
And I remember I was with a buddy of mine. And
did you cry?
We looked at each other throughout the whole movie saying, like, what is this?
Is this wrong?
Was not, you know, but looking back on it, it's not as bad as we initially thought. I still think it's not the greatest movie.
But the bar was so high.
The bar was so high.
And then they come up with that dud.
Yeah.
And this is one of the largest properties on the planet in terms of pop culture. And they just annihilated it with a subpar movie.
They really did.
I won't say a terrible movie.
No.
But a subpar movie.
It was
movie.
Subpar. And you know what? It was subpar because all of a sudden, all the kind of cool things that made Star Wars, the whole Star Wars phenomenon, fun,
right.
They tried to explain it. Right, they tried to explain the force that there's midichlorians in your bloodstream and like all these scientific things.
Why take the magic out of it?
Right, exactly, right? Yeah. Exactly. And a lot of the magic was taken out of Phantom Menace, and I didn't care for it. However, I am excited to go see this new one.
That's my next point. So they come up with duds.
Yeah,
and yet I'm going to venture to say that at this moment in time. I mean, Star Wars has never been bigger.
I agree, yeah.
It's never been hotter. It's never been more anticipated, if I can say that word again. So it's like you can do anything you want to this property.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, it's so resilient.
You know,
people want good Star Wars. Like, they want to make this right. I so wish that this new one sets it right.
You know what's interesting? I read an article about the original three movies and about the new three, like the newer three movies.
Right.
And it was a really interesting article because in the original three movies, things were dirty and grimy and gross. And, you know, they mucked up the droids and they did all kinds of, like, you know, they scuffed things. And then all of a sudden in these new movies, everything looked too good.
Yeah.
Like,
they were clean and digitally
cleansed.
Yeah.
And there was a feeling to it that was almost fake.
Yeah.
And I think that threw some people off.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Jar Jar Binks threw people off.
Oh, my God.
And there was a number of different things that people didn't like about it. And it wasn't just one thing. It was just like, oh, because if it was just Jar Jar Binks, nobody would say, oh, I hated that movie because of that. But it was a culmination of different stereotypes.
So you as a big Star Wars fan, what makes you forgive those second three movies and look forward to the future?
I really enjoy the first one. I still find almost it's not unwatchable, but it's for all three of them it's still part of the Star Wars canon, so
right.
I still find it to be,
and they
hey,
all
you know
have
what?
Like a coherent storyline.
Yeah,
they,
you know
they
what?
All do have the same characters and they actually have a linear path of story evolution.
So you put up
you know,
with the portrayal of the young Vader.
It's just the cinematics that go through.
You are so enthralled with the old Vader.
Right, but you know what's interesting about the Star Wars movies? So the original three movies with like Star Wars, New Hope, and Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi, this was... It was set out as if it was a movie about Luke Skywalker, right? But then when you add in the first three movies, like the Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones, and then Revenge of the Sith or whatever it was called, all of a sudden now we've got the whole six movies becomes a movie about Darth Vader.
Right.
It's no longer about Luke Skywalker. Mm-hmm. The whole thing is about the rise and fall and eventual coming around again of Vader at
redemption.
The very end. Redemption. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, whereas and if you look at it that way, it's kind of classic. It's kind
It is. You know, the way that you've actually brought that up, this is a new frame of mind that you've just instilled me with, Chris.
It's a completely different movie now. You have to look at it as a whole.
It's like a six-part, you know, novel series or whatever. Like
exactly.
If that were written originally, 1 through 6, then that's who you would identify with, and you'd say, man,
totally.
It was a sad story of, like, his downfall and, like, his falling into corruption.
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
All right. Hey, listen. You, me, Shecky, and billions of others are looking forward to the new Star Wars stuff. Hey, we have just a few minutes. Chris, throw away your mutual funds.
Okay.
Your stamp collection.
Okay.
No, don't throw them. Give them to me.
All right.
Don't invest in anything except Tintin art.
You know, this is crazy. You know, I've been a big collector of original art whenever I can afford it.
Yes.
Original comic book art, I should say.
You should have went with Herd Gay and not Art Balthazar.
Yeah, no kidding. Art Balthazar, I love you. I love your art, but man, I'm pretty sure your artwork isn't fetching any $3.5+ million US.
So, In Paris over the weekend, some Tintin original art, what they call it, fly leaves and pages, I guess the inside back cover. It's inside front cover, inside back cover.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Those two pages sold for $3,500,000 for The Adventures of Tintin, 1937. And then the cover for L'Île Noire, The Black Island, done in 1942, sold for $1,300,000, absolutely shattering the records that North American comic book arts original
we talked about last week.
Which we talked about last week, which was the Herb Trimp first appearance of
Wolverine.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
So here we have
Tintin original art.
Yeah.
Now multiple pages getting over $1 million a pop.
But you know what's interesting to me is that if you were to ask the average Joe in North America what Tintin was all about, most people won't really know. Like, there was a Tintin movie, but you ask people what Wolverine was all about, they know all about
exactly.
it. But, you know, in Europe, Tintin's huge.
Exactly. And we alluded to this before. Herd Gay, is it the way proper to pronounce it? Herd Gay, the Belgian. He's the only one
Has ever drawn Tintin. Yeah, comics in Europe are a little bit different than they are here. Like, here, they'll take a character and everybody can draw him, right?
Yeah.
Whereas there, it's like there's Asterix Noblesque only by Uberto.
Yeah.
Right? Or whatever his name is.
Yes.
You know, Tintin only by Herge, right? This is their thing, and then it's done.
It's wrong. I think Tintin is a great. I mean, I've read the Tintin albums.
Yep.
They're great.
Yep.
I think new guys should be doing
Tintin. Why not? Listen, unfortunately, we're running out of time. That is all the time we have for today.
All right. Comic Culture, produced by Shecky Feldstein, and broadcast at Comic Book Daily. It's broadcast at 93.3 CFMU, McMaster Radio. It's podcast at comicbookdaily.com, getthepointradio.com. If you have comments or suggestions, please visit, where do they visit?
Comicbookdaily.com.
And scroll down and enter your comments on the comments field. We look forward to seeing everybody at the Niagara Falls Comic Con this coming weekend. Come by the Big B booth and say hi.
Yes, especially on Saturday. I'll be there for sure.
And you might also see Captain Canuck.
Yeah, Captain Canuck may be there as well. And please have yourself a wonderful day and enjoy comics, as always.
Support your local comic book shop.
Sure, that too.